Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman, alongside Steve Harmison, looking back at another wildly fluctuating day of Test cricket at the Oval here, as England and India continue to slug it out. Who's going to win? Who knows? Well, maybe Harmy does, but it'll be fun to find out after another great day of cricket. You're listening to Following On. So, if you're listening to this podcast, you no doubt by now know that, well, it's all to play for still. India started the day 270 for three, a lead of about 100 less than that. Had a little bit of a wobble, losing Jadeja and Mahane, both going the way of Chris Wokes. And then Kohli caught a first slip for the bowling of Moeen Ali. At that stage, they were 312 for six. They'd lost three wickets for just 16. And the lead was only around 213. Never enough. And then up stood Shardul Thakur, who hit his second at 50 of the match, alongside Rishabh Pant, who had a return to form, both putting on 100 for the seventh wicket before both departed in quick succession. India frustrating England, though, adding another 52 for the last two wickets, with Bumrah and Yadav both scoring 20s. England then were set 368 to win. Of course, they're not going to wrap that up tonight, but they needed to get through to tonight, and they've done so, reducing the deficit to 291, the 77 without loss, and very little alarm along the way. Burns is 31, Hamid is 43. So let's have a little look back at the story of the day with Steve Harmison.
Story of the day.
So, Harmy, where do you start? Well, let's start by looking forward first to day five. England need 291 runs to win. India have got 90-odd overs to take 10 wickets. Second new ball is due in, 48 overs' time. Two batsmen in Burns and Hamid with a score next to their name. And India without a frontline spinner on a pitch which offers very little in terms of seam, swing or speed. Where's your money?
My heart's saying England. And half of me head saying England. But history tells me India. History tells me India. England haven't won. England haven't chased this in 100 and however many years in the UK. That tells me. And we haven't got Ben Stokes. I know Ben Stokes got 362 at Headingley in 2019. That's half of me head. But I'm actually sitting here thinking, and I have been thinking all day, and I said, at the halftime, if you had offered me 368 to win, and if we were playing with a white ball on that wicket in 50 overs in our white ball team, I'd have backed us to, I'll back us to win. I'll back us to chase it down. Now, obviously, test matches are different, and the bodies have been through 5 days, and mentally people are fatigued and tired. But England now are in a great position. And if they have... they have 1 hour anywhere as good as what they've just had 2 hours today, I think England have got a chance of winning. For the simple fact, if you look at England's middle order, lower order, the white ball players, the players that are very good when the game is in front of them, they're very good at knowing the situation. They're very good at either chasing a total. And I think if England get through the first hour tomorrow, you know, first 15 overs, one down, Milan in, route to come, I still think England have got a half a chance. I actually think there's more chance of either side winning than there is a draw. I know Crick Viz is saying draws at whatever percent. I'm not sure the draw's in the equation. England bat 90 overs, England win. Obviously, India bowl England out India win if they bowl them out inside the 90 overs. I don't see there being a draw tomorrow. The forecast's great. The sun will be out. There'll be a full house. The pitch is still very, very good. If Jadeja bowls like he did today, I think England have got a great chance of winning because I thought he bowled poorly. So, on reflection, everything is in India's favour. But I've just got half a sneaky feeling that with England's middle order and the way they play the game and their mindsets, we might have a humdinger of a finish between 4:30 and 6 o'clock tomorrow night.
I agree, but I just wonder whether the reason a draw is favourite, and as things stand, it is the favourite of the three results. Let's discount the tie for now. With India 33%, England 22%. And the reason I think that the draw is favourite is because essentially, if Jadeja just starts firing into those footholds down the leg side for the day, and at the other end, the pace bowlers bowl on wicket to wicket on the stumps and pack the leg side field, or just hang it out side off stump and do the same on the offside, it's going to be easier for India to draw this test once they realise they can't win it than it will possibly be for England to draw it if once they realise they can't win it. And unless, of course, both teams just realise, you know, you go to that final session and England still need 160 then, and they've got 7 wickets in hand, it's going to be a draw, isn't it? But
England, I don't know. I don't know. I know you say that. Jadeja bowls into the rough. All of a sudden, once it becomes apparent either side can't win the game, then mentally, where's that team? And neither side really in this. I said earlier that the Jadeja wicket when Wokes got him, that summed the series up because India were nearly outside. They were gone. England weren't going to catch them if they carried on batting the way they were going. England, there's always a wicket comes just to drag the game back closer. And I think if one side goes out of the game, the mindset of that, if Jadeja just bowls into the rough and England kick him and you say India bowl straight, then all of a sudden England don't lose wickets. The game doesn't go anywhere, but England don't lose wickets. Even if you offer me 180 with 7 wickets to go in the last session, with the powerhouse that England have got in that sort of lower middle order, you've got to remember you've got Bairstow, you've got Root, you've got Bairstow, you've got Moeen Ali, Wokes bats, England bat all the way down to number 10. I still think there is a chance of a game here. And if you're doing that as an Indian captain to Jadeja after you've picked him and you've picked him the only spinner you've picked, what will that look like in India? What will that look like in India for Virat Kohli if he tells his spinner, after picking 4 seamers for 4 test matches, the only thing that's going to be in the game is the spin, or just bowl negative and defensive and bowl down the leg side. How much will Virat Kohli get for that? How many pelters will he get for that? So for me, Virat Kohli is more important than any of their bowlers because of how he develops tomorrow.
They don't just have to bowl down the leg side though, do they? Because England do have a few left-handers. You know, I can see Jadeja take a wicket. So I thought his bowling got better as the innings progressed. He started to get some consistency, didn't he? And possibly it's going to get a little bit more difficult to bat. But the other thing to bear in mind is the timing of that new ball, that second new ball, because England are going to come out and they're going to play defensively for the first 2 hours tomorrow. You know, if they score 70 runs in the first session, they'll take that. 70 for one. So they're 140 for one. That's going to eat up 30 overs because Jadeja will bowl, you know, maybe 28 overs. Let's just say 30.
Yeah.
That means that the second new ball is going to be taken pretty much midway point of the afternoon session. So once again, England are going to have to be careful, you know, because the second new ball is India's only real chance you'd think, unless something ridiculous happens. Well, they're going to have to be careful no matter what, because even if they do score 100 runs in the first session, they're still going to be careful when the second new ball comes in. So it just means that it seems to me that India hold the aces. It's going to be India possibly that are going to fold first, because they're going to realise they're not going to take 10 wickets in a session, or they're not going to take 10 wickets in a session and a half. But they are going to be the ones holding the trump cards. And that's why I can see a draw favourite. And I can see India second favourite. But I can also see an England win for the reasons you said, because that pitch is dead.
It is. And sorry to cut you off there. When you were saying there about the new ball, if that new ball comes around, what do you have to do with a new ball if you're the opposition captain? You've got to go to two slips, gully, backward point, no extra cover, square leg, mid off, quite straight, extra covers wide open, mid wickets wide open. All of a sudden, if your bowlers just over pitch, go too straight because they've been bowling quite defensively with the old ball, the people that are batting potentially, if we're going to play the game of England lose maybe one or two wickets, that new ball is going to come at a time with the likes of Milan and Root, Pope, Bairstow could be the trump card. He faces new balls with a game mindset that he's got, and the way Mo and Ali plays, the new ball could work for England.
The only thing I say is, right, if Bairstow's facing that second new ball, that means that England have lost at least 1, 2, 3, 4 wickets.
Four wickets.
I've lose track of where Bairstow bats.
He's batting at six.
So again, and he's batting with either, he's either batting with, well, it doesn't matter who he's batting with, but essentially there is jeopardy attached to that.
Yeah. But I'm also saying that new ball could also work in England's favour because.
Yeah. I just think, again,
travel at six and over. And all of a sudden, if it travels at six and over for seven or eight overs, then all of a sudden that whole game that England are back, just dragging it back towards them, and the pressure then becomes all on India. And if that's going to happen in the middle of the afternoon, talk about moving days. We're talking about moving session tomorrow. Could be the middle session when that new ball's due. India take it, the win. England take it. Could be a great last 2 hours.
Mate, I agree. I'm almost trying to convince myself that England can't win this. But, even if they score 70 runs in that first session and they'll probably score 100 runs in the afternoon session. That's 170 of the 290 needed. That means final session, they need 120. You can score 120 runs, especially as it'll be an extended session. That's ridiculous. I mean, this has been the most bizarre test. No, it's not been bizarre. It's just been a brilliant test match. I mean, the pitch is a bit rubbish, but essentially, doesn't matter. It's conjured up a test match, which at no point have you been confident, really confident, that one team is properly ahead. Only 2 days ago, we were talking about England would want to chase 275, 300. Now we're saying, they're not going to get bowled out on day five.
Yeah, and it's for me, that's what I come back to. It's Kohli. It comes down to Kohli. Kohli's got to win the game for his team tomorrow. And that sounds stupid because he's not going to bowl a ball. But his decision-making tomorrow could mean everything, coming down to his field positions, coming down to his messaging to his bowlers, coming down to his bowling changes. Did Thakur not? Shadow Thakur's got 50 in both innings of this game. In my opinion, if India win, he's man of the match, unless somebody gets 6 foot in this, unless Jadeja gets 6 foot. And the ball 32 overs, he's not bowled a ball. He's your all-rounder. You'd think he was on the high. I understood why he didn't, but you would have thought he would have had one or two overs. Kohli again, even tonight, Hamid nicked one through. There's no first slip. No first slip. He's nicked one. And whether it would have carried or not, I'm not so sure. But there's a fourth slip. Players, five fielders on the leg side. This, what I mean by Kohli, could actually help England beat India tomorrow by not making the right decisions. Bowling changes. The minute he goes negative with Jadeja, that for me, he gets pelters by everybody in India because he is basically saying, I'm not backing you, Ravindra Jadeja, even though I backed you, I picked you for four test matches to be our number one spinner, and I'm leaving the number two bowler out in the world. I'm not backing you to bowl England out on a fifth-day pitch. Wow. How much shtick will he get for that? So for me, it's a lot of it will come down to where Coley is tomorrow.
What did you make of the action today? I mean, we haven't even discussed it, have we?
I thought it was compelling. I thought it was brilliant. I thought Wokes was fantastic. He had to go keep going back to the well. I worry where Anderson and Robinson are. God love Jimmy. And
33 overs today.
33 overs. That's a lot of overs. And that's in Robinson. Yes, he's durable because he's played a lot of cricket. And I keep saying, you've got to remember, he's done the hard yards in first-class cricket. So he understands his body. He understands what's going on. But we've got to go to Manchester as well and try and win a test match there. I worry where Jimmy's at because we keep asking. We can't keep going back to a 39-year-old to keep trying to get something to happen. We did last night. And he got the wicket of Kiel Rahul. He looked tired today. I felt for him today. I really felt for him today. And that was why I didn't want him to play in this test match because that's why I've talked about him retiring at the end of the series. I don't want Jimmy Anderson to retire. I don't want Jimmy Anderson not to play in this test match. If Jimmy Anderson told me he could perform until he was 50, I'd pick him because of what Jimmy Anderson is. But we've got to be realistic. We're asking a 39-year-old man who has got 600 test wickets to play back-to-back-to-back test matches. I think that's just far, far too much. But this is where we're at. I thought Pant was brilliant. I really did. I thought Rishabh Pant was absolutely fantastic today. As much as I've caned him, said he should be batting at 6. Yes, he batted at 7. I thought he was responsible. I thought he was watchful. I thought he held that little bit together. The core helped him by releasing the pressure, by scoring boundaries. But I thought Pant batted really, really well today. And if India do get over the line, if I'm Ravi Shastri, I sit down with him in 2 days' time. And he were devastated, Pant, to get out the way he got out. But I'd watch that video with him and said, you know what? I'll tell you what, sometimes, you know, you've got to play the situation. And you played that situation brilliantly. So when you get into these times, just call back on what happened in Brisbane. Call back what happened at the Oval because you can't just go crash, bang, wallop. This is test match cricket. Sometimes it's tough. Give him his due. Credit where it was due. I thought he was brilliant today, Rishabh Pant.
Yeah, fair play. How did you assess Moeen Ali's performance with the ball? You mentioned that wicket of Pant. It was Ali that got him.
I think it was just, like we said yesterday, John, I expected the minute Moeen Ali come on to bowl, they were going to go at him. I didn't expect him to sit on him. I didn't expect him to bowl too much pressure. There was a little bit of turn, not a great deal. This is India. I expect more off Mo against Australia or against South Africa, West Indies, but this is India. And the minute Jimmy Anderson and Ollie Robinson looked tired, Joe goes to Mo bowl at one end. There was only one outcome. India were going at him, and they did. You'll never get me criticising Moeen Ali because, one, I wanted him in the team. Two, he hasn't played a lot of first-class cricket or test cricket recently. I just thought he'd come up against a very, very good India side who are comfortable playing test match cricket against spin, and they just milked him. Milked him nice when he overpitched to put him away for 4. I didn't expect anything else. I wasn't hanging out for Moeen Ali to take 6 wickets on this. I thought if there was anybody going to do it, it was going to be the seamers because India are very good players of spin.
6 players in the top 8 for India score 40 or above. I would take great heart from that if I was an England batsman tonight. But looking ahead to tomorrow, if you were to pick the key man for India with ball in hand, I know you've already mentioned Kohli, who would it be?
I think it has to be Bumrah. I think it has to be Bumrah. On this wicket, we've seen Suraj is very similar to what we've got. Thakur, very similar to what we've got. Yadav, a little bit more, but not much more than what we've got. Bumrah's different. And if it's not Jadeja and he doesn't get into a rhythm and England find a way of playing Jadeja, then for me, the only one is Bumrah. If India can get Bumrah fired up for 4 spells of 5-6 overs, over the course of the day, and he bowls 21, 22 overs, he is the one I'd be worrying about if I was England, and he will be the one I'd be looking to get every single time we get a wicket. If I was Virat Kohli, I'd be firing Jasper Bumrah up and saying, right, I want you to bowl some rockets for me. Hard, day 5, this is test cricket, but that for me wins the game for India.
Well, we shall see. Tell you what, if there's one thing that I've learned over the last 4 days is just sit back and watch, because different times I've thought different things, and it's just been in a blink of an eye. If I was going to make, actually, I'm not going to make any predictions. I was about to say, if I make one prediction, is there's going to be some twists and turns tomorrow. There might not be. England might get bundled out by tea, or England might be win this by 7 wickets. I just don't know. And that's a brilliant place to be on day four, following about a billion overs of cricket in front of four packed crowds. Another full house expected tomorrow. So whatever you do, make sure you join myself and Steve Harmison. Head over to the YouTube channel if you fancy a little bit more. We're about to go live, but essentially we will be back on the following podcast following at the conclusion of this riveting fourth test between England and India here at the Oval.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.